Two draft picks yesterday for your Cleveland Cavaliers. Tyrese Proctor, Duke, number 49 overall. Saliu Niang from Senegal.
Who?
Number 58 overall. Shut up. Do you have the guy announcing it before we bring in Mike DeCourcy? Yeah, please get the guy announcing it. Because, hey, man, I've heard of Tyrese Proctor. I've watched Tyrese Proctor. Hey, I'm not Jonathan Givony. I'm not Mike DeCourcy. I'm not John Fanna. I've not seen a ton, but I knew who Tyrese Proctor is. Let's get to Mike DeCourcy.
With the 58th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Saliu Niang.
All right, I got it right. Audio courtesy ESPN in this interview. Courtesy of Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning, friend.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing okay. You know, the Cavaliers had two draft picks in the second round last night. First off, what did you think of the two-night draft? Did you like it better than the one night, or what did you think?
I think turning the I'll be very curious to see the ratings for the second night, because the second round of the NBA draft is not an occasion. It's a perfunctory exercise that you must go through. And I don't think that it's worthy of its own night. And I think it was pretty clear from the telecast they weren't all that interested in it either. They talked about almost everything but the players selected.
I was kind of let down by both nights, to be honest with you, but that's a different story for a different day. I agree with you wholeheartedly, though, I'll tell you that. So, hey, man, do you know anything about Saliu Niang before we get to Tyrese Proctor? Because I know you cover a lot of it's college basketball that you write about. But do you know anything about this young man, or can I move on to Proctor?
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of his tape. It's really hard to get a feel often for international prospects, even by watching their tape, unless something stands out. I mean, when I saw Giannis on his tape, I didn't know much about him coming in, and there was a lot of criticism of that pick at that point. And I watched this tape, and my eyes were flying out of my head. It was unbelievable. And there's nothing extraordinary about his tape. He looks like a good, solid, hardworking player who has, you know, a nose for the basketball and good hands. But there's not much that I know about it beyond that.
Cavaliers GM Mike Gansey said that, you know, Proctor is a player that might be able to not just make their roster, but help them this year. So just on what you have watched of him at Duke, how close do you think Proctor is to, you know, being able to tangibly contribute?
Well, I think that he has a lot of excellent qualities for an NBA wing. His size, outstanding. He's a good enough ball handler that there was a time when it was pondered whether he might be a point guard. So if he develops in that direction, he might be able to help the Cavs with some minutes at that position. But I think that the key for him to become, especially in this with this roster and how successful they were a year ago and how loaded up they are for 2025, 26, with all the absences now that we'll have in the East. With Tyrese Halliburton not playing. He may appear in a game, but he's not going to play the season. And the same for Jason Tatum. So many injury absences. Dame in Milwaukee, I'm not sure, is quite as impactful as the other two, but it still makes a difference. All those guys likely to have very little impact on next year. So next year's Cavs are in a good position to do even better than they did this year. For Proctor to impact that, he's got to build some confidence. That's the biggest thing for him. I mean, there's little stuff with all the rest of it, but he's got to believe. He was a player who, in a lot of big moments, kind of was like, okay, I'll just stand over here. You guys do all the big stuff. That was his problem as a player. Down the stretch of last season, when, one made three-pointer could have made all the difference, or maybe three made baskets instead of only two against Houston. I know Houston's defense was terrific, but his shot left him when the games got big. And that can't happen at the NBA level. And he honestly should be a better three-point shooter than he has been. Over the course of his career, he shot 36%. He was better last season. He shot 40%, and that's what you need. But it's got to be there in the biggest games. Last three games for Duke last year, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, he was 3 of 13 from deep. And I know players get streaky and stuff. Before that, he was 13 of 14 in against Mount St. Mary's and Baylor. But when the games get big, you can't get smaller. And that had tended to be his path through the course of his career.
Mike DeCourcy joining us from the Sporting News, because I want to go, well, he's just a pup. He is 21 years old. I don't know, you know, how we look at it in terms of youth when it comes to the NBA, but could this be maybe the perfect spot for him? Because it's like, hey, man, you got this big, deep team that's supposed to make an NBA Finals run, and you are not supposed to be a part of that as of right now. But you played for the premier program in college basketball. There's a ton of pressure that goes on there. You're like, hey, we'll take the pressure off you. We'll coach you up, get that shot back, and then maybe down the line we can work with you here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I'm talking about. He has the skill set. It's there. He's a very capable passer. There's the group of Jason Kidds and Magic Johnsons out there, and then there's everybody else. And he's in that next group, the guys who can see a play as it happens and make the pass. He's not the guy who sees a pass that's two passes ahead, like the best point guards are, the very best point guards are. But he can play the position and make the pass you need him to make. He's had a lot of assists in his career, a lot of 4 and 5 assist games in his career. He's got all of that. And as I said, he shot 40% from three this year. He showed some range on some of those because obviously it's a couple feet back to shoot it at the NBA level. And I think he showed that that's not going to be a big jump for him. It's just that confidence thing. It's always been a problem for him. In the biggest games that Duke has played over the last 2 years, both of which either involved them getting to the Final Four or winning a national championship, in those 2 years, he just wasn't there in the biggest moments. You go back to last season as well, and he's 1 of 9 at the Sweet 16 Elite Eight level, and they don't make the Final Four. And he's 3 of 17 from the field in the Elite Eight Sweet 16 game. So this is who he has been. I am not singling out 1-2 games and saying this is a problem. This is an issue that he has got to conquer in order. You have to believe that you can play if you're playing with those guys. If you're playing with Mitchell, you got to believe, man. Darius Garland, if you don't believe, why would they?
Is that just a youth thing, or is this something that he can kind of grow into here with the Cavaliers?
Well, I don't think it's a youth thing because he's playing against other youths.
Yeah.
It's what he has been as a player. But as is the case when Miles Turner got to Indiana, I think he'd made 25 threes in his freshman year, something like that. And this year he made like 80 at the NBA distance. So you can grow into certain skills or abilities, but you have to work at it and you have to gain confidence, maybe a sports psychologist, whatever it might be, that gets you to that level that when the games get big, you don't get smaller. And that's why the Pacers got to where they were this year, because Nembhard had big games late, because Nesmith had big games as they got deeper into the playoffs. And it's why Jalen Williams went from late first-round pick, mid-first-round pick, unheralded coming out of Santa Clara, and is the second or third option on the NBA champion. It's because you have that confidence that, yeah, I can do this. And so I certainly believe that Tyrese can get there, but it's something that they know, they'll know at Cleveland that he's got to work on. Given where they picked, I don't think they could have selected a better prospect than Tyrese Proctor. I think he's got a lot going for him.
Makes me feel good about that. Mike DeCourcy joining us on the show. I got more with college basketball. I just want to get your opinion real quick. Do you think that some of the stuff about the Cavs making trades is kind of overblown? With the second apron and everything, is their best interest to just stand pat and see if they could run him back yet again?
Well, I mean, I think as close as they came, I'm not sure that I would be in a hurry to abandon what got me there. I wouldn't, especially when the competition around you has thinned a bit. I mean, I think Orlando's going to be better, but I don't know if they can make that much of a jump. They can probably be a factor in the playoffs, but I still think that there are holes in their rotation that will prevent them from from really seriously challenging for a finals appearance. New York is still a factor, but I mean, they made the absolute wrong move in getting rid of Thibodeau. He had a bad week, a bad 2 weeks in the Indiana series.
Mm-hmm.
But they got there, and it was a very Knicks-ish reaction to fire him because he had a bad couple of weeks. A bad couple of weeks. Maybe it was just a bad matchup. But you don't abandon everything that has gotten you that far because somebody didn't do well. Look, he didn't have a great couple of weeks. He tried some things. Sometimes they worked. Mostly they didn't. Indiana was better. The Cleveland didn't foolishly fire their coach because Indiana was better on those couple of weeks. No, they Kenny Atkinson did a fantastic job. Move forward, and then you look around and you're like, geez, man. There's not a lot left in this side of the NBA right now because of Jason's injury, because of Hallie's injury. We can do this, and I think that's the approach that the Cavs absolutely should take. If there are little tinkering that they can get a little better, go for it. But I don't think they need any sort of significant overhaul because they lost the playoff series.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News with us. LeBron is in his twilight. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a great player. Maybe he takes the torch, but we're coming from a league of icons and kind of looking for the next face of the NBA. Could Cooper Flagg be that guy?
Yeah, you know, I think he can be a great, great player. And I do think he's the best prospect America has turned out in a while. But his game is so different that I don't know yet whether or not it develops into that sort of what we usually embrace as an icon. Can he score 24, 25 points a game? I guess he can if that's what they want. I mean, I don't think they're going to want that rookie year or anything approaching it because they've got a lot of established players, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, et cetera. He can help them get really good in not very much time. I think he can be outstanding because he does so many things well. But I don't know that there's been many guys like him that became that kind of iconic player. I'm not sure that that's the case. So I think he can be a star for sure, superstar, probably icon. That's a long way from what he does to people embracing it.
What's your thoughts on Ace Bailey?
Ace is, by the way, I wrote about him earlier this week for a piece I did at sportingnews.com. And here's the interesting thing about Ace is that everything that's happening now is not Ace. That's not who he is. That's not who he has been. It is how he is being handled. And I don't know they're right or wrong or indifferent. That's up to them. It's his career, and he's going along with this. But I talked to Steve Peichel, who was his coach in college, and he told me that Ace is among the best kids he's ever coached. He said that he gave a great analogy, a story to explain it. He said that they have 26 student managers in Rutgers program, which is a lot, obviously. And yeah. he said some guys come in on Tuesdays and some just on Thursdays. And he said, I know most of them, but I don't think I know all of them. But Ace knows everyone. Ace knew every manager on the team, like the kind of guys that you don't guys and ladies that you don't necessarily have to pay attention to. If you're a college basketball player, you can just say, hey, go get me that towel and never know their name. But that wasn't him. He's just a great young man. This drama is sometimes the way careers start. It didn't impact our perception of Eli Manning. It didn't impact our perception of John Elway. It shouldn't impact our perception of Ace Bailey as an athlete or a person. However, it could be the wrong approach to having a proper start to his NBA career. It certainly, not showing up in Philly for the workout, not attending, declining or whatever, however the mechanism of that worked, yeah. It doesn't make any sense because the higher you are in the draft, the more money you get under the rookie scale. So if you don't want to go to Philly, then you go to the workout, you do it for them, and then you say, look, I don't think I want to be here. You know what I have. Somebody out there will want me at 3. Make a trade, and you can get me. You can get your preferred player and something else. Instead, he just doesn't show, and then he falls.
Follow him on Twitter, at TSN Mike. One of the best basketball guests you're going to find. I know I had you on the Infinity Sports Network a whole bunch. Mike, take care of yourself. Hopefully we'll talk to you again very shortly.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate it.